episode 90 of Drunk on Comics, where I
sometimes... I'm excited!
Okay, Mr. Interrupt Me.
Yeah, I'm fucking excited.
Like, for what?
Yeah.
Well, okay, I've been excited about this whole week for a long time.
Not just the day, but the week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, because like I've been excited about doing this podcast, and then we've got another podcast that we're doing that we'll explain later, special edition, and I'm excited. Like I want to just like skip all the intro bullshit. I want to get right into reviewing comics today.
Well, the show still has to be. I don't know, an hour or so.
Yeah, roughly. Okay.
Yeah, you're taking away a lot of filler time right now.
do you just want to air a previous recording for our listeners? Then we can just move on.
All right.
Intros and just splice it in.
Fine. This is Drunk on Comics, our weekly podcast. Where's
the excitement, Derek? Bring that back.
Dude, where's our clip episode?
Our clip. Oh, speak it. Yeah,
you know, yeah. You take the best parts of our recordings and pop them together.
Maybe
kind of like what sitcoms do to stretch out a season.
All the flashbacks.
Yeah. Oh, God, you remember that back when?
I wish people at home could see us because we both put our hands on our hips, tilted our head.
Oh. Cut it out.
Well, how else are you supposed to reminisce?
What you talking about, Kevin? Oh, all right, guys. Well, I guess we will officially get things kicked off. And it's been official. Tony's phone is finally back. We've missed you, Tony's phone.
Sorry, guys. I've done quite a good job in the last maybe couple weeks.
Couple months, actually.
Oh, shit, it's been... Fuck, I should get a reward for this.
You're here. That's your reward. My
all-time best record. I think before it was like a week or two, but...
No, I think you missed one episode for a few, like, you know, the first, I don't know, 20, 30 episodes.
Yeah, true.
And then you went at least every other week for the next 40. But, okay, guys, this is Drunk on Comics. This is our weekly podcast where we sit around, bullshit. I get excited about random shit. And we're going to talk.
Mostly bullshit.
Mostly bullshit, yeah. We're going to talk about comic books, and we're going to talk about some industry news, and we're going to talk about some conventions. And actually, we are going to talk about collecting today.
Really?
Yeah, I know where you're going with that.
Yeah.
I think there's been plenty of times, too, where we say, we're going to talk about collecting.
I'm going to talk about collecting
right
now. We don't
really get to that either. Dude, I think that was the whole idea of the show when we first started. Okay, we'll tell everyone our wonderful collecting tips. And then
we had like three of them.
Burned it out in like 20 minutes.
No, here's my collecting tip. It's not as much. This is not an unknown tip. Bag, board, and box your comics. And I'm saying this because I had water come into my apartment through the roof and the wall. And had they not been bagged and boarded properly, I would have lost a shit ton of money in comics.
And you would not have been happy this morning.
Oh, no. No, I would not have been excited.
So, I know you don't tape your bags. That didn't matter?
No. No, it didn't. But see, like, then again, I'm weird. Like,
So are your boxes all fucked up?
Actually, luckily they did not get that wet. To where, like, the actual inside of the box didn't get
dude,
wet.
Dude, you need to, first, they won't pay anything. I mean, you'd have to get take out, like, your deductible on your renter's insurance or something, wouldn't
right.
you?
Right, yeah. Which, that's the other thing, if you're going to have, if you want to insure your comic books, you really should have an updated list of what your books are. So, there's my collecting tip. It's been a shitty winter. Kevin, your books almost got wet.
They almost got sewered.
Yeah.
Your long box almost got wet. About time.
Yeah. It wasn't really wet. It was more moist. So, all right. Let's get things kicked off with Off the Shelf, which brought to you once again, and we've been officially announced on the Facebook site, and I don't know about the regular website. Because I haven't been there yet this week. But the website is MotorCityComicCon.com. You guys can come see us in May, because we're going to be in Novi, Michigan.
We are the top billed media guests.
I think we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. at least in my opinion.
We're actually on the media guest list because actually last year weren't we like a sponsor?
We are a sponsor
and a media guest.
Well, we were a sponsor and a comic guest.
Oh, all right, sweet.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll try to be funny.
We kind of fit that like, hybrid.
Oh, when you say comic guest, I'm thinking like stand up, not comic.
Because this is drunk on stand up. That's what we do. What the hell's wrong with you?
We talk about performances at the improv.
It's all this is improv. So anyway, come check out Motor City Comic Con, and it's going to be May 16th, 17th, and 18th at the Suburban Collection Showplace.
Otherwise, come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right.
Otherwise known as the Showcase Showdown. So, but yeah. All right. On to Off the Shelf.
I know why you're excited today, too.
Why?
Because of this.
I'm excited, actually, because of Off the Shelf. And this is actually a perfect tie-in with Motor City Comic Con, because I'm reviewing Daredevil number 36, written by Mark Wade, who's going to be at Motor City.
Okay, I'm like, where are you going with this?
Yeah.
Because it's a comic and it's a comic book convention tie-in.
I just want to, you know, start out. This is the last book in this series for Daredevil Volume 3, and I'm going to start right out with the cover, which Chris Somney did the art on all of this. Little things like the fact that his one box here actually says DD Volume 3, 2011 and 2013. Like on his moving box, because it's all done. This is the last issue before Daredevil moves to San Francisco, and this ties in very, very well with what I'm excited about for later on this week, which is our Drunk on Lawyers podcast, where we're going to talk to some attorneys about legal things going on in the comic book world.
Yeah, I know one of the questions that we've always asked and we plan on asking and posing is Daredevil. I mean, he has superhero powers, so is that even like legal to be able to be a lawyer like that?
Well, and more so than that is it a violation of like the ethical code that all lawyers have, because he's a vigilante, you know?
Ethical code? They're not like doctors and have a Hippocratic oath.
Yeah, they make deals with the devil.
They kind of do, because they're in this book, and actually it was like the last thing in issue 35. Matt Murdock in court admitted that he's Daredevil, and he actually and he gets actually disbarred because of it, which that's one of the really cool things that I was excited about.
You're excited about a man losing his job?
I'm excited because, like, we've been planning this Drunk on Lawyers thing for a while, and now that we finally get it, you know, coming to fruition, here it is where, you know, he's actually coming out and saying, I'm Daredevil. But here's one of the coolest things ever was the panel, or the page that Chris Somney did, where he says, I'm Daredevil. And when you look at it from afar, you don't really notice. But the panels themselves actually spell out, I am Daredevil. And, Tony, I'll pass it along. You've got everybody from, like, Spider-Woman to Cap to the Punisher in these panels witnessing all of this, like, on television. It is one of the most beautifully drawn pages I've ever seen in my life. I mean, not to mention the fact that the colors are gorgeous in it, too, but Tony, how impressed are you with that?
Very impressed. In fact, it does give the sense and awe of holy shit, you know, who would, because he's never done this before, correct?
No. In fact, and actually, Wade talks about in the book how, you know, he's had the shirt that says I'm not Daredevil, which actually I'm glad I didn't buy that shirt now, because I'd have to cross it out and say I am.
I am Iron Man,
but. But yeah, it's he talks about that in here, how, well, you know, you refused, or like you fought, had the case. Kevin, what are you doing?
Why did you? I want to look at the book.
Oh, well, I wanted you to see that page, though.
Well, I want to flip through the entire book.
Oh, okay.
You're kind of lived like, oh, you can only look at this page.
Well, that's the page I want you to really look at.
Well, I think right. I'm going to look at every other page now.
Yeah. Well, every page but that one.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they do talk about how, actually, in this court case, because he goes up, like, he is not on trial, but he goes up to actually do, like, you know, long story, I'm not even going to bother trying to explain. You can get it if you just sit there and read it. But it's great because at the end of it, in the court case, all of a sudden the Sons of the Serpent start coming for him in the court. And he actually rips open his shirt, you know, like in the Superman style. And he's got his Daredevil thing underneath. Mm-hmm. Right in the middle of the court, he's just like, whoop, throws his hood on, or whatever you want to call it, his mask on, and starts kicking ass. And he's like, cool, everybody knows, I don't care.
I know Spider-Man's done it multiple times, and it gets retconned and stuff. Do you think this is... I mean, I love when stories do something totally different. This is totally different for Daredevil. This actually makes me actually want to pick up the books, because it's going to be more than the same old thing that I know Daredevil was.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that being a great direction they're
going to
do?
I don't see him going back to having a secret identity. I don't know how.
I wonder if they start questioning then if Matt's been lying about being blind. Because you would start thinking, because no one knows. I mean, the few people that have the connections of knowing that, they don't think Daredevil's blind.
He actually explains in here.
Oh.
He's
giving away everything.
He gave away everything. He's like, he goes, I was in an accident when I was a boy. And, you know, I lost my sight. But because of the accident and the radioactive material and whatnot...
Me and four turtles mutated.
Yeah. and a rat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which...
So that's going to just change... That changes the whole...
It changes everything.
Everything.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, so, I mean...
the taglines that they always say, it changes everything. This, actually, I can legitimately say, changes everything.
Yeah. And just a quick shout-out. I already said Mark Waid wrote this. Chris Samnee drew it. But Javier Rodriguez did colors, and Joe Caramani did letters on this. This book was just amazing. I mean, it really was. And I know that I've convinced a few people to start reading this series, and this one here. I mean, the last two issues in particular, even if you don't want to pick up the entire series, but you really should pick up the last two issues of this book. And, yeah, so he's moving with his girlfriend, out to San Francisco. So there you go. It'd be kind of interesting.
Did she know before he announced it in court?
A couple issues ago. Well, she's always had this sneaking suspicion. And I think we talked about
this. Yeah, you talk about before she'll like kind of flash him.
Yeah, she's like lifted up her shirt in front of him to see if he's blind. You know? Like showing her bra off. And he's just like, da 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 da. But yeah, holy fuck, was this a good book. I tell you what, Waid and Samnee are at the top of their game with this book. If you're not reading it, you are definitely missing out. So yeah, go pick it up. There's lots of fun little Easter eggs in here too, just little stuff in the background, like all the way through. And I love this cover. I've spent hours looking at this cover. One of the things that's in here is like his files. You've got Mr. Lee on there. You've got a page for Waid. You've got a page for Jansen, as in Klaus Jansen. One that says JRJR for John Romita Jr. on there. Mr. Miller, Rivera. So Frank Miller, Paulo Rivera. It's just great. All the little things that are in here. You know, Wally Wood is listed on there. Everett Storage, as in Bill Everett, with the guy who originally drew it. This cover alone, just fucking amazing if you're a Daredevil fan like me. So... pick it up. I'm going to stop talking now, but I'm still really fucking excited.
All right. What I'm going to talk about today is God is Dead number 7. This one written by Mike Costa, art by Juan Fregeri. This was supposed to be a miniseries, a 6-issue miniseries. Number 6, you can see how the series was going to end. It kind of seemed like it finally had a wrap-up. All the gods were fighting each other. All the gods pretty much died except for Gaia. And it seemed like that was going to be the new world that they lived in with this one god, the Earth Mother, and whoever is left in humanity. So you kind of think, how the hell can this story go on from that? That was a big end cap to the book. This actually is even more intriguing. It's following, I believe it was 150 years after the destruction of the world. And the people who work directly for Gaia are out.
Was it 150? I thought it was only like one generation.
See, that's why I'm confused. Because in the Dream World 2, they end up talking about 15 years being in there. But the Dream World is quite different timeline than the real world. So you're thinking gods are dead, but you have these women who are going out to try to spread, you know, the love of their god here on Earth to any settlements, any people who are within the world.
I know why I was thinking it's a generation, and because in the very beginning when you get these two women that are going to Australia, it says the first human being to set foot on that continent in a generation.
Gotcha.
And so, maybe.
Yeah, but they also had the other priestess before go to Australia. So that's more or less saying it's been a while since they've pursued going to Australia again.
Okay.
Because wherever, I forget where the main temple is and everything, Australia is kind of a different, well, whole different continent away that they're trying to spread their mother's beliefs and everything. Getting there, you find that the Australian people were saved from this cataclysm because they went into the Dream World, which I really like. It's kind of hard. You know, Zeus is, you know, god of this, and Odin, the god of this. Really, Australia's had a high tie with the Outback. You can see it in the Max series where the Outback is another world. Anyone going on a... was those walks?
Walkabouts?
Yes, yes, when they go about walking.
Don't tell me what I can't do.
Exactly what I was thinking. Walkabouts, you kind of escape into this other dimension. So it was cool to see that the Australian gods knew this cataclysm was coming and pretty much saved most of their people in this other realm. From there, they're trying to figure out, there's a god above all gods. Let's get him involved to try to fix everything. Not going to give away what they find there, but God is definitely dead.
It's because he had a blooming onion. Sorry, you kept talking.
All bets are off with one of those.
Oh, yeah.
Today's Drunk on Comics brought to you by Foster's.
Australian for swag.
So you have that going about in here, and then you get introduced to these two other gods who somehow were alive from everything. You're thinking everyone died. But these smaller off gods.
You're talking the little extra story at the end.
Well, yeah, kind of Thanatos and Eros.
Yeah,
god of love and god of death.
Yep.
And I really liked the pairing of them. I liked how the little Cupid, you know, angel or not angel, but god, was trying to say how much he hates watching the death just fucking everything, but he's got to shelter him and hide him from the other gods because they can't see death, because death is everywhere, I guess. I don't know their whole powers, but they're staying alive together because they're pairing up, and then death is getting free sex when he tells Eros to shoot his arrows at people.
Yeah, and then I'm guessing he probably kills them after.
Yeah. But the biggest thing, so you're kind of drawn into this other stuff going on. So there is material to draw upon within this storyline, within this world that you've been reading now. But that last page, was that not Zeus?
No, I think that's God.
That's God?
Yeah, because
that's why they need to start, like, having name tags for some of these guys. Because they all look like bearded, white-haired, long-haired guys. Actually, no,
that is Zeus.
Yeah, and Zeus died last episode.
Yeah, but there's no timeline on this. Like, this could be flashback.
It looks like they're talking. Well, no, because they were talking about how all the other gods are dead and he'll find us. So it has to be someone else is there. So maybe the gods don't necessarily die forever, But that one page right there, I thought they were talking about Gaia, you know, the Earth person who turned into the new god of all gods because she was the last one here. That's who I thought they were trying to hide from, which would have been cool in itself of her trying to pursue these last couple of gods. But to see Zeus, or if that's God.
No, I think it's Zeus, not how I look at it.
To see him show up, you're kind of like, what? Fuck, now I need to read the next issue to find out where he came from, and is it going to happen with other gods?
By the way, that last story, just so we give credit on that, the last story, the art on that one was by Rafa Ortiz, which, art-wise, did you have a preference? Did you like one over the other?
No, I felt, actually, I did not even know that it was, I felt that kind of were the same artist, tell you the truth. I felt really? That it was...
I mean, I didn't read this, but I was flipping through... the book, and
yeah, no, there's
I noticed like when there are two definitely
totally different styles,
and fucking just completely different stories.
Yeah,
I don't know, but this page, I mean, it looks kind of
well
same. I get in the beginning of the book, it definitely is.
Well, I mean, the Ortiz, I actually liked his a lot better just because of the amount of detail that he put in. Like, I mean, you look at all the cross hatching and whatnot that he puts in there compared to, you know, what you've got from the main artist on this, Frigeri. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name.
We never know how to pronounce.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But no, like I actually really liked the art, from Ortiz on the end of this. The art on the first part, it's nice, but it's very minimalist in the backgrounds, where I just really liked what
Ortiz did. So this was a miniseries, and now it's just...
It's now ongoing.
Ongoing.
Yeah. This is the first of what wasn't planned to go forward.
Which, I don't remember if we... Because when I interviewed Mike Costa here back this last October at that one convention, it was interesting because I don't remember if he said in the interview or not, or if it was just when we were bullshitting, but he talked about how this book came to be, and I don't know, Tony, if I ever filled you in on it, that, you know, Jonathan Hickman had this all scripted out, and then had Dee Ameren, or something like that, the previous artist, basically had everything pretty much done, but Hickman didn't have all the dialogue. He had the basic story and where it was going and stuff. And then they basically, he got busy doing other stuff. And so, like, they pulled Mike Costa in and goes, here's the pages, put some words in it, more or less. Here's the story, here's the pages. Fill in the blanks. So that's how Mike Costa got onto that series, you know, to start with. But yeah, I really like, the nice thing on this, too, is that it was very seamless as far as the characters were concerned, switching over, because sometimes, you know, you're like, okay, it's 100% now Mike Costa writing this, even though it's Hickman's idea, but now he's taken over. Sometimes you have that change where it's like, is it going to feel really abrupt? And it doesn't. Like, I mean, it's very, very smooth. Nice. It was a nice job on that issue, I thought, because, well, I was talking to the guys at the shop, and they're like, are you picking that up? And I'm like, yeah. They're like, where's it going to go? I'm like, I don't know. That's why I'm picking it up.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they have a direction that it seems like they're not just making it up. They're not just doing a, you know, a random Heroes third season type shit. They got a plan.
Yeah. Fucking Heroes. God.
Can't believe that's off the air.
Yeah. Which cover did you get, by the way?
I got the Carnage wraparound because, I don't know, it's just kind of cool. I thought this was going to be another god showing up in the book, but it's just kind of just some cover art of a dead god in the streets.
I got the, so you got German Noble is who did that wraparound? I got the Jason Burroughs, you know.
The dragon. Yeah, that was my second choice, yeah.
The Hydra. Yeah. On there. So, all right, cool.
Kevin, what you got?
I'm excited.
Don't let us down, Kevin.
Man. Yeah. Woo. That's a lot. So, Derek, now, not too long ago, you picked up a issue of Supergirl.
Picked up a couple.
Yeah, and you were, if I recall correctly, you were like, meh, mixed bag.
It started out, I was really excited. I was excited. And and I really enjoyed them. And then there was one issue in particular that...
You turned into Droopy Dog.
Yeah. I was like... Yeah, like that just... I felt was written and drawn at an elementary school level.
Fuck you. For myself, I've been enjoying it, and I've been enjoying it for about a year. So, na 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 boo boo, stick your head in doo doo.
Yeah, sticks and stones may break my bones. So, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Actually, this is one of these books that I subscribe to mail order. They
like your bride.
What? I some people's brides, I guess, but no, I get my comic books delivered to my door, and I just recently renewed my subscription, and after reading this issue, very, very happy that I did renew my subscription.
So are you telling me? I don't know if I can trust your opinion, because if you've loved it the whole way through, I don't know. How can I trust you?
Do you hear that? He doesn't value your opinion. He thinks your opinion's full of shit, which means he thinks you're full of shit, which means he doesn't like you, which means you guys are not friends. I'm reading too much into this, but...
No. You're dead on. Fuck you. Nah. Come on, bro. Let's have a moment. Hold my hand.
Hold it's getting up. Awkward in the studio.
Can we go do a couple skate later?
All right. Do we hold hands or do we?
Well, we hold hands.
Or do I skate behind you with my hands?
No. We hold hands. The question is if we hold hands like we're shaking hands, or if we hold hands with interlocking fingers. That's the deciding factor.
I'm excited now for later. So Supergirl 28. That's what's off the shelf this week. For here, props to this issue goes out to Tony Bedard for a really cool story. So this is part of a new story arc called Red, Daughter of Krypton, which started actually in this big Green Lantern, Red Lantern number 28 explosion event that I mentioned in our last call segment, I think two or three weeks ago. Now, if you hadn't picked that issue up, it's not a big deal. Superman 28 is actually a fantastic jumping on point.
Superman or Supergirl?
Supergirl.
Okay.
I knew I was going to do that at least once.
Yeah.
Because I read a lot of Superman. But... reading that Green Lantern issue, I was actually a little confused in her origin, but this actually cleared everything up. But again, this is an excellent jumping on point for a nice story arc and for Supergirl herself. So, now, again, the arc is called Red Daughter of Krypton. So, I'll spell out what that means.
Just
in case you can't figure it out from the title.
Okay, let me see if I can guess. Okay. Red Daughter of Krypton.
Okay.
She's a girl, so she's a daughter.
Okay.
She's originally from Krypton.
Okay.
So she's a daughter of Krypton, and she's Red Daughter because she's going to be a Soviet USSR people person.
Ooh.
Like the Red Sun.
So close. So close. No, she wears a power ring.
on her middle finger, apparently, because you keep showing that to me.
Dude, how awesome is that? So you got a Kryptonian with the power of the sun.
You know, I don't mind being flipped off.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know my finger was still up.
I don't mind being flipped off. It's just the fact that it's been, you know, you've been flipping me off for like a minute and a half straight.
Looks like that couple skates out the window now.
Yeah. apparently he didn't want to hold hands. Apparently he wants to be behind me. Hold on to my belt loops. I'm sorry.
So Supergirl 28, by the way, that's That's what I'm telling the peoples about. This explores how she gets the ring. But she actually only gets the ring at the end of the book. So if you're not familiar with the Red Lanterns, they harness the power of rage. And Kara has a whole shitload of it. Now, Vildere, Sinar.
Yildre. I can't remember how to, like, I got to see his name, but I can.
Oh, well, here, let me open it up, because, you know, I don't even know what origin that is, but he does a great job in this book capturing her rage.
Yeah, Yildiray Sinar.
Ray McCarthy on inks and Dan Brown on colors. They do a really good job knocking it out of the park. See, I even post-it note I wanted to show you guys. I really liked how this panel, an up-close panel of Kara, I think it does a really good job of capturing, like, her rage.
No,
there's plenty of other pictures of her getting angry throughout the entire book, but I just like this one. It's colored real nice.
Does she ever say Supergirl Smash?
It looks like she almost wants to in that last panel there. Like,
oh, yeah. But that's what happens in this book.
Quick question for you, Kevin. Now, like, her eyes are kind of red there. Is that because, like, of the power ring that she's got that she's about to unleash? Or is she stoned?
She doesn't acquire the power ring until the very last panel.
So she's stoned?
Spoiler.
In that panel? That's why her eyes are all bloodshot looking? You see what I'm talking about?
Totes my goats, you're right.
Yeah. Totes my goats. All right.
So, now, Lobo.
Is Lobo still in this?
He's an interesting character.
Is it the Lobo we've known, or is it the new Lobo they try to reintroduce? And
the new one.
It's not the...
It's the pretty one.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty young one, not the rough, gruff chains and awesome mullet. that's the one I know. But this, hey, it's the new 52 somehow still, so why not?
I'm actually okay with, as long as there's two of them out there, they don't retcon the old Lobo. Yeah, let this new pretty boy Lobo say he's Lobo, but knowing that old Lobo is real Lobo.
No, the old Lobo is the imposter.
But it doesn't matter. You could... If he still did all that shit in the name of Lobo, then it's Lobo.
In the name of Lobo. That sounds like a great 80s song. Maybe we can couple skate to that later.
So what's neat about Lobo's appearance, aside from the big old fights, and there's a whole shitload of them in here, which is awesome, they show the inner dialogue not only of Kara, but of Lobo, too, which is kind of interesting, because he's sort of the antagonist in this issue, and to have his thoughts captured so you can read them, that's interesting. I don't see that in too many books.
No, that's a fairly unique approach.
Yeah, it was really cool. So this book has a lot going on it. Great dialogue, great action, and a hook that will definitely make you want to pick up the next issue. I only hope that it's not going to be in every single damn Lantern title, because that might be a deal breaker for me, because I'm picking up a bunch of stuff. If it's just like in Green Lantern, I could, or Red Lantern, maybe I could deal with that, but it's going to be one of these huge multi crossovers where it's New Guardians and the Core, that might be a little bit of a turnoff, but Supergirl 28, this is definitely my off the shelf this week.
Okay, quick question here.
Quick question.
Well, maybe not that quick. I don't know. The red Lantern.
Is it like an 8-part question?
Yeah, yeah. It's like a buffet. Get ready. Just get some plates, bitch.
Does it okay. come with a nice warm B&B at the end?
A B&B?
Yeah.
Bed and blowjob?
B&B is a Benedictine and it's like a cognac.
A cognac?
Cognac.
Cognac?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, that's served warm at the end of meals.
Oh. Well, not familiar with that.
I forget what it's called. It's Benedictine and Brick Nine.
Butts and Belt Loops.
All right. So what's your 20 part question?
So the Red Lanterns, their power source is rage, right?
Yes.
Okay. Are they good? Typically,
sort of.
Yeah. There's two. Well, there's a lot of just kind of, you'd say evil-ish, but the two from Earth, well, Earth and I'm sure Supergirl, it's just a power source. I mean, Sinestro, they live off fear, but some of them do good. I guess it's the will that makes the ring work.
Okay.
But only if you're a Green Lantern, because they use will. But.
So now that she has a ring, is she even more powerful? Or potentially?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she would be. She would probably be the most strong, the strongest of the Red Lanterns.
For That's sure. what my quick one question is: once a month, she become the strongest?
No, she becomes really strong roughly every 28 days. I'm just kind of curious about this.
It would be interesting, though. Now there is an Elseworlds out there where Kal-El acquires a power ring. Because he never actually... I never read it, but the story was presented to me as he never ends... Krypton doesn't end up blowing up, so he never ends up getting powers, but somehow he ends up acquiring... a Green Lantern ring. Oh. But then somehow enters a universe with a yellow sun. So this would be not the first take of a Kryptonian wearing a power ring, but this would be the first sustained issue that I know of.
You know, the kind of cool thing is that if she decides that she wants to go to a different world, she'll still have some powers.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
All right, I'm interested. I don't know if I'm interested enough to pick it up because fuck you. All right, guys, I think that does it for Off the Shelf. Once again, brought to you by Motor City Comic Con. Check them out and come see us in May.
Okay.
Time for some news and nuggets.
Yeah, there's quite a bit. Well. At least what I think, quite a bit out there.
Quite a few nuggets?
Yes.
I still don't understand why you hate that word.
It's not that I hate it. It just sounds so nuggety. Well, when you say nerdly nuggets, I don't know. It just sounds... It sounds silly to me. And we are above silly on this show.
Because fuck you. I think probably the biggest news was a little trailer that came out this week.
What trailer?
The trailer that I hooked up on my truck.
Oh, yeah.
So I can, move all my stuff around, because it got all wet.
That was a pretty good trailer you had there.
It was, yeah. I mean, everybody saw it, because I was driving all over town with it. Now, the trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy hit this week, and it made the Twitters and the Facebooks a little buzz.
Oh, yeah, there is so much with this movie riding on it. As far as future superhero movies go, if this fails, you're not going to see some more of those obscure references, those movies. They're going to play it safe and do the same thing that they've been doing.
The A-list characters only.
If this works, though, they will realize there's still potential for some of these other ones, and they'll take some more risks on that. Already, the reception of this trailer has been so positive that they've started talking about getting a director for a Doctor Strange movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's moving in the right direction as far as movies that aren't going to be all tied into Avengers. And maybe DC might get around to doing something besides Batman, Superman. Who knows? But trailer overall, awesome. It definitely encompassed who the Guardians of the Galaxy were. showed off a little bit about them, but really didn't give a lot of plot points away, which is also amazing in trailers nowadays.
Yeah. It's Kevin, did you see the trailer?
I did, and I don't see how this is going to get anyone who's not familiar with comics or comic book movies. I don't see how anyone's going to get excited over that trailer.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
this is just the fuck you episode, yeah. I realized.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I like the casting of, the main guy. I already forgot.
Star-Lord? Peter Quill?
Yeah. Yeah. But I just don't see, it's going to have a wide appeal.
You know, here's my thing. Everybody, on the internet, it's like, this will be the best movie ever. Like, people just going, I'm going to say it looks good, but I'm also going to reserve my judgment till I see it.
Fuck you too, Derek.
Well, you can't say it's going to be the best movie ever strictly based on a trailer.
True. Okay, yes. I guess I won't say that because nothing holds up to Wizard of Oz.
Well, here's a perfect example. You look at, like, and I was talking to one of my other friends about it here earlier in the week. You look at Iron Man 3, and you look at the trailers that they put out where you had the Mandarin, and it was going to look dark and gloomy and all this. And then you get there, and it's kind of a half comedy. That trailer was not representative of what the movie was. I'm not saying anything about whether the movie was good or bad. It just didn't represent, I think, what the movie really was. This one, they're showing a little bit of action, but mostly they're showing a comedy. Now, there may actually only be one funny scene in the movie, but right now it looks like a buddy cop film. So,
yeah, I see what you're saying. I can't wait till it comes out. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Just how much the studio is putting behind this. They could have just said, we're going to put up one trailer and that's it, and that's our done with our marketing and not spend money on it. But they are actually putting 100% of their part of trying to promote this thing. Like, they even just...
They realize it's something is different. They're going to need to do it. You're presenting heroes that no one's ever heard of.
And that's what, I like their cocky approach. Even with their first poster that they just came out with, it shows all the characters, it has their names up at the top, and it says Guardians of the Galaxy, the date, and then just in the small little print, it says, you're welcome. As if, there you go. This is who we are. You will love this movie. So
yeah, it looks good. One thing I do have to note is that Bill Mantlo, who is the guy who co-created Rocket Raccoon back in the mid-70s, for anybody that is not aware, you can look him up. His last name is Mantlo. Look him up online because back in the early 90s, he got hit by a car. It was a hit-and-run accident and, you know, pretty bad brain trauma and all that. And basically, he's in, like, an assisted living facility and all that. More than likely, he won't see a dime out of this movie and all the money that it's going to make, because when he co-created Rocket, it was a work-for-hire type situation, you know. I'm always very torn on these situations, you know, because, yes, the creators deserve more money later on down the road, but it's also tough because it's like you signed a contract. But here's where all of you at home can actually go help. There's actually a place out there where you can actually help donate, because he's having a tough time paying his medical bills. So there are places out there where you can donate through PayPal and all that. So my opinion is, if you're super excited about going to see this movie, rather than buying the popcorn, throw a few bucks out that way and sneak your sneak your candy in, you know. So that's my little okay. The more you know
what
thing.
Criminal?
Yeah.
Sneak your candy in?
Or just steal it.
Something I'm super excited about is seeing the images from the New York Toy Fair that just happened this past week.
Oh, dude.
Very did you exciting
see,
for...
Did you see the fucking Kiss Hello Kitties?
No, yeah. I totally missed those. Huh? I can't wait.
Hello to Kissies?
Dude. No, there is some... The toys look amazing. If you like collecting those or just playing with them or whatever, looking at the Transformers alone, I'm really excited for some of those figures that are coming out. The Aliens one looked pretty sweet. Some of the superhero ones recently that I've seen on store shelves are kind of eh, but some of these look pretty articulate and have some fine detail.
Like these.
Oh, those are terrifying.
What the fuck is that? I'm showing these guys a crossover between some sort of...
Munchie Chi and the Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, they're just like dolls dressed up as characters from Wizard of Oz. It's fucked up.
They're creepy. Tony, were there other toys you wanted to talk about?
Yeah. Well, just all the toys. There's too many to point out this looks cool, and plus toys are meant to be played with, so you'd actually have to have them in your hands. I think I would never be allowed at one of these shows because I would be reaching over the tape rope saying, do not touch, and got to touch it all. But
I think you'd be allowed, but we'd have to wheel you through like Hannibal Lecter, you know, strapped down with like a mask on and everything. There's some more movie news. Actually, there's more movie news.
How much can they wedge into a week?
Four. They can wedge four, as in Fantastic Four. Casting news.
Were you up all night thinking of that one?
No. I just thought of it just now because it wasn't that good. Okay, so Kate Mara is going to be playing Susan Storm. Jamie Bell is going to be playing Ben Grimm, the Thing, which that's, I think, the weirdest casting of all.
The only thing is Michael Chiklis. He is...
He looks like the Thing without makeup on anyway. You've got Michael B. Jordan playing Johnny Storm, and Jamie Bell's Ben Grimm, and then Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic, is being...
Miles Teller.
Now, there's been a lot of hoopla about Michael B. Jordan as Johnny Storm, because he's going to be the first African-American character to play what was traditionally a white character. Cool. I got zero problem. My only question is, how's his sister white? That's my only question.
That's the biggest question, because that's what kind of made the Fantastic Four. The switching in of the scenarios. You had the brother and sister, and you had Ben and Reed, best friends.
Right.
So you had that connection. Then later on, Reed marries Sue, so then that connection, and then Johnny and Ben become friends, and you got that connection.
Yeah.
If they somehow, like I'm saying, there's nothing wrong with him being cast as Johnny Storm.
No, I got zero problem. I like that dude as an actor,
but
too.
But they need to somehow say that they're not brother and sister. But then if they're not, they're not the Fantastic Four.
But they still have the same last name, because it is Sue Storm and Johnny Storm. They've already listed them cast as that. That's my only question. I'm like, why wouldn't they make Sue African-American as well if Johnny is?
Yeah.
That's like I don't really care. I'm just like... It doesn't make sense. And I guess my bigger problem is, if you have to create something more than just saying, hey, your brother and sister, why you're creating more shit to write.
You just say that he's adopted.
Well, how about this, though? They're also doing them as like young people when they were adults when they went into space. So if they're going to somehow get their powers...
Well, Johnny was kind of always younger.
Younger, but I mean, for Reed and Ben, they were in their...
Which made sense, because they're
like teenagers right out in the space.
They get the keys to the rocket.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the fuck they're doing over there, but
I don't know either.
What Michael Jordan said. We'll see it anyway.
Yeah. No, I tell you what, though. Like, I like... The more I thought about it, I think he's actually a very good cast for Johnny as far as the attitude and, you know, all that. I'm just curious. Like, I'm not really familiar with the rest of the people that are cast, so I can't really make judgment on that.
Yeah, I sort of flipping up some IMDb's on these guys, and I'm like, rah.
Yeah. Here's a quick note. Grifter's coming back to DC Comics.
I thought he was already in some of the comics.
He had his own series for a while. Yeah,
but he's coming back.
And
so there you go. That's all.
Okay. Yeah, that's all that needs to be mentioned.
Yeah, it's anyway. Just keep your eye out if you're a Grifter fan. He'll be coming back. Other DC news: the Movement isn't moving off the shelves very well, and so it got canceled.
I didn't even know this was a
comic.
Didn't even know.
Yeah, it was written by Gail Simone, and it really tried to capitalize on the Occupy movement, which I think is quite funny, because the Occupy movement's not about capitalizing on anything, but that's what this one was more or less trying to do. It just didn't work. I mean, there was like some Batgirl crossover even, and it still couldn't, you know, pick up the readership. So that got axed. Speaking of Gail Simone, though, she is writing at least one issue of Savage Wolverine over at Marvel. So I don't know if it's going to be going on, but I think it was like issue 19.
Okay. Some details of your favorite person, the Watcher, in the, you know, the new event coming out this summer of Original Sin have been detailed. I guess he gets killed.
Yeah.
We kind of knew that part.
Yeah, we've talked about that for a while.
But when they find the body, they find his eyes are missing.
Yeah.
And with that being, what does that mean? Obviously it's symbolic, but also does his eyes contain everything that he saw, which is everything?
That's actually what I was reading, what I heard was that his eyes have all the information.
Yeah, and so with that being said, it sounds, when they always say a big event, this and stuff happened, it sounds like they may release some other kind of things that could totally change the Marvel Universe, at least as far as secret identities go, or who did what and where. I'm looking forward to it for one reason. I know you're looking forward to it for a different reason.
I actually wish they wouldn't have killed him and they just would have ripped his eyes out and left him like left him there to suffer and like,
not be able to see anything.
Yeah, and technically, if his eyes have all the knowledge, he would have been just a drooling idiot, which would have been great. You guys make fun of me for a lot of stuff, and I'd say rightfully
not
so.
Not at all.
But the one thing that you guys make fun of me for is when I bitch about paper quality in my fucking comic books. Yeah. Apparently, I'm not the only one that bitches about this. And Marvel is now catching some flack. Saw an article on Bleeding Cool. Thank you, because I'm not the only one that cares about this. They're bitching about how thin the paper is because it's wrinkling and
well,
buckling.
The images that they have actually show what people need to be bitching about. That's unacceptable.
Yeah, and the paper is so thin that you can actually see the images from the other side coming through, which that's always my biggest gripe. And so, thank you. I'm not alone. Oh wait, guess what, guys? Fuck you. I'm not alone. So. Yeah.
Something that I'm very excited for, only because it reminds me of childhood. Back when you'd go to the, you know, cereal aisle, and you'd sometimes pick out what cereal you want based off of the secret toy inside.
What do you mean sometimes?
All the time. Well, sometimes the flavor overpowers what it is, but... Yeah, okay, yeah.
You guys still do that?
What?
Really? Like, look to see what's inside the box?
There's nothing inside the boxes anymore.
Yeah, there's just a play mat on the back of it that you can
find the hidden thing. Someone at work gave me an Obi-Wan pen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was like Cheerios or some shit like that that had him.
Maybe.
Yeah, because I got
some boring cereal that you wouldn't touch?
Actually, one of my coworkers gave me... He got the three pen. He got three pens. I got a Darth Maul. I got an R2-D2, and then I threw the Jar Jar Binks one away. But yeah,
that probably didn't work.
I don't know. Like whatever I wrote came out all jumbled anyway. Like words were backwards and all Misa wrong.
DC is pairing up with General Mills to bring the fun back to the cereal boxes.
they are actually including some comic books within certain brands of cereal. It's cool because it gives, you know, cross whatever promotion, whatever, helping each other out with that. But it gives kids, you know, more of an incentive to go and eat some cereal and pick out their favorite box with what it's going to have.
They did this back in the very early 2000s, and I guess that these are going to continue on from there as far as the numbering went. But I'm trying to remember. I think there were like maybe four or five books originally, and so like the next books, I think they're going to be like, they've got five different books coming out, so it'll be like 5 through 9 or 6 through 10 or something like that for those. Yeah, I'm kind of excited. You know, it's going to be questions. Of course, you know, you're going to open it up and it's like, damn it, Supergirl again.
It's interesting, but I don't know. I'm not a big fan of half the cereals that they're going to be placed in.
Yeah, well.
Last thing that's not even really worth mentioning, but they've just said it, so we might as well say it. Something about some show named Heroes is coming back in 2015.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Yod.
It's going to be... No, actually, this is pretty big, exciting news. From the moment when we were talking about it earlier in the show to just getting the news now.
We didn't just get the news now. We got the news during pre-production. Fucking liars.
Yes, but sounds like they're trying to get the most of the original cast back to do this. It's not going to be a... Well, it's, I don't even know what... Because the details are so secret. It's going to be an event miniseries of 13 episodes. From that, if it fares well and the storyline's going somewhere, maybe it could run back into its whole season. But I don't know if it's going to just pick off where the last, you know, episodes went, if they're going to pretend that didn't happen,
you know,
or if they're going to start from the beginning again.
The great thing is with that show, they could just go...
Time travel.
Yeah, time travel. That never happened.
Yep. So this is something that's really exciting for comic book fans, because I don't know a single person who didn't like this show.
When it started.
Okay, yeah, it's true. Yeah, it kind of got to a point where, yeah, then you're like, eh. But going up to it, NBC is planning on launching a digital series, introducing characters again, having some storylines online to bring us back up to what's going on. So this is going to be great. Look forward to it.
I hope so. And I'm hoping that it's not going to be just a blatant ripoff of the X-Men again, which it turned into, like, just... flat out blatant ripoff of the X-Men. So, but I love the show. Hopefully, it just keeps going. That's all I got for.
It was a Nuggets. I never watched it. But so
Blasphemer.
You didn't watch it?
No.
Really?
I watched like 5 episodes. I'm like, what's everyone like getting all hubbub about?
It was. I really first season in particular. I really loved it.
Yeah.
Wait, what was that? What? I'm getting a phone call from the nerd community. Oh, what'd you want me to say, Kevin? Oh, fuck you.
Dude, there's someone out there that shares my opinion.
No.
Someone,
yeah.
No,
nobody cool, though.
Well, I'm not cool, so...
Yeah.
But, so, the blatant ripoff, like, of the characters, stories?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
Yeah.
See, now you're giving me all the more reason not to go back and watch it.
Yeah, I'd still say at least watch the first season. Tony, did you have anything else?
No, but I got booze in the book.
All right. What are we drinking?
We are drinking Baijiu, which is alcohol from China, more known as a white wine. It's usually 40, 60% alcohol. Reason why I'm pairing that up is because Avengers World number 3 was a great story. I almost reviewed it. Following Shang-Chi, the Chinese martial artist who doesn't have any superpowers, but seriously, seeing how he draws from past elders, past people, and the way they set up this story was just fucking amazing that it needed to be paired with something. So I looked up some of the best Chinese booze there was.
Cool.
Speaking of... A quick follow-up to what I brought up earlier.
No, we're past that segment, Kevin.
No. I thought it was actually something else, but no, it's just called B&B.
Oh.
Yeah, so B&B is a...
Doesn't stand for anything, it's just...
liquor.
Okay.
Okay.
So...
It's a cognac.
Yeah, so if you have a nice... so if you have a nice meal, you want something to top it off, get one of these warm.
And, why warm?
Releases the flavors.
All right. Well, I'm going to release the flavor on a little Indie Turnpike review. I don't know what that means. Indie Turnpike this week is brought to you once again by Fanfare Sports and Entertainment, located in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Check them out at fanfare-se.com. You can find them on the Twitters, and you can also find them on the Facebooks. This week, I got a book that I've been waiting for a while to come out. And
so, just as excited as Daredevil?
I am. This one? That's actually one of the other reasons. I had two fucking kick-ass books to talk about this week. And it's Loki, Ragnarok and Roll, from Boom Studios, issue 1 of 4. This book is written by Eric Esquivel, who I had the pleasure of meeting at the same convention where I was with Mike Costa. And art by our good buddy Jerry Gaylord, formerly of Fanboys vs. Zombies. First thing I got to say, I'm just super happy to see Jerry's art again, because I really enjoy what he does and the work that he does. Oh, one more quick thing. The cover is by Alex Zurit. So Jerry's art style is kind of animation style, I guess is one way of putting it. But this book is basically, it opens up with Loki talking to Odin, and Thor comes in. And the writing by Esquivel in this is just fucking top-notch, because it's very funny in here. Odin's talking about how, when you pick a lock, you've got the pick in which to coax the tumbler's pins, and then a tension wrench to, provide that constant pressure. And basically, he talks about his two sons, Loki being the pick, and Thor being the less than subtle tension wrench or hammer. But it's just, it's fun in here where, they call Thor the god of lightning and blunt force trauma. But the book, basically, Loki gets sent down to Earth and has to more or less suffer down there. And he finds himself being in the world of kind of the outcast punk rock type people. This book had me like laughing out loud. I'm really drawn in. The art on here fits so perfectly with the actual script. This is one of the nicest pairings I've ever seen. I'll kind of hand this over to you, Kev, so you can take a peek here. When I first, I'm like, okay, Loki, Ragnarok and Roll, it sounds kind of cheesy, kind of funny, but I wasn't quite sure. I was actually expecting maybe a little bit more kind of like maybe a death metal type take on it. This, to me, is like kick-ass, like 80s hair band fun. It's definitely got the metal side to it, but this book is tons of fun. My only real complaint, it's a 4-issue miniseries. I could see this book carrying on for a long time. Now, hopefully, it will continue after the miniseries. But yeah, that's my only complaint. One of the most fun books that I've read in a long time. I mean,
I'm kind of upset it was not at the shop when I went there.
They sold out quick. Like,
yeah.
I mean, because I actually picked up the last copy.
At my brother's shop, it wasn't there either, so it's definitely picking up some steam for being the first issue and not being anywhere around.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like, I got in there probably about 2.5 hours after the shop opened, and I got the last issue. So, and that was right on Wednesday. But yeah, I mean, for anybody that liked Fanboys vs. Zombies, this is a definite, good one to pick up, not only because of Jerry's art, but it kind of has that same serious and lighthearted feeling all at the same time, which is so difficult to do. And I'll tell you, I mean, Esquivel not only has a great idea, with the story and how things are going and the, his take on these mythological characters. But, man, his dialogue's good. God, is it good. So, you know, pick this one up, and I think everybody will be happy. You know, the Jerry's killing it on the art, and one of the nice things that I noticed in this is that I always look for Easter eggs that Jerry puts into his stuff. Now, I did find a couple in here, but I'm not going to point them out. I will, because some of them people won't necessarily know. But, you know, I did see his wife, I think, in here. definitely.
Yep, yeah, that yep. looks like her.
But, you know, I'm looking at, like, there's a splash page where, you know, they're showing this guy from this band who's basically crowd surfing. The amount of detail that he puts on every single character in the background, he doesn't have to do that. But he does, and I think that's what really adds to the overall, you know, dimension of this book. So go pick it up, and if your shop ran out, like a lot of them did around here, ask your local retailers if they can reorder. And so, Tony, you're going to have to go to Fanfare and say, can you please reorder? Because yep. I would like one of these. And I'm, you know, I grabbed the first one, and I'm making sure that I get the next one. I'm actually putting it on my poll. So there you go. That's Indy Turnpike.
Mm-hmm. What does it for right now? Has anyone got any last calls?
Only a few. Which, you know, what's funny is that as excited as I was for those two books, it was actually a very short week for me on my poll list.
Actually, everything I had on mine was amazing.
Yeah.
I'll let you go first.
The one.
Oh, wait, I'm just going to cut you off and fuck you just like you did at the beginning of the show.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Night of the Living Deadpool number 3. I know that Deadpool stories are always the same as in that. It was a bit touching and a little bit different. I like where it's going with this mini series that they have going there.
You like how it touched you?
Yes, I like how Deadpool touched me. Unity number 4, great. I understood when they were saying when this original team came together, and the person who, not knowing Valiant, Harada, whatever, was a bad guy putting this team together, how this team is going to be going on being good guys. Now I know, and it seems like the wait was worth it.
One that I'm a little confused on, but I still enjoyed. Undertow, number 1 from Image. Very unique art style. The story is just kind of... I'm not 100% sure exactly what's going on yet. It definitely jumps around a bit. Or maybe I just was too drunk when I was reading it. I'm not sure. Punisher, number 2. I'm hoping that they're just coming out every other week to get the book kicked off. I hope it's not going to be a twice-monthly series going forward, although it was nice this week because it was a short week. Uncanny X-Men number 17. I'm going to be honest, while I was reading this book, I was about halfway through it going, am I going to have to finally take Uncanny X-Men off my pull list?
Ooh.
Because I was not enjoying it.
Well, there's some hateful words.
That's huge, because Uncanny has always been the book I picked up. Always. It saved itself at the end.
Okay.
I say, like, okay, where are you going? The hell are you going with this? This is supposed to be an uplifting segment.
Yeah. And then last one, Krampus number 3.
Yeah, I haven't got to read it yet, because I've been busy, but I'm hoping it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I had less than 10 books this week, which I can't remember the last time that happened.
We get RoboCop, another one shot, Memento Mori, that came out this week. That was spiffy. Disney Kingdom, Seekers of the Weird.
Oh, that's right. I did see that on the shelf.
Number 2. It held its ground. It's out there. Those Disney Imagineers are definitely pumping out some weird ass shit, and I think I'm liking where it's going.
So it was definitely good enough to where you're.
I'll probably keep on doing it until picking it up until they lay an egg or they don't have it at my comic book shop anymore. Because it's not it's good. I'll pick it up if it's there, but it's not. It's not pull list worthy, let's say.
Okay.
But who knows? It might get there. And then Justice League 28.
Regular Justice League or just...
Oh, just regular.
Oh, yeah, because that would have been like Justice League
America didn't come out, like that. America didn't come out, but this was interesting because Justice League for the last handful of issues has been basically origin stories of the Crime Syndicate, which is the big bad guys from the alternate world that have stepped over into the story arc. It was different, and I liked it. So,
I had one last one: X-Files, Conspiracy, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That story has just been great, tying them in. But after we saw with the Ghostbusters and where the lone gunman thought, you know, oh, this is all made up and everything, kind of wondering how it was going to happen with the Ninja Turtles, if they were going to be hidden in the shadows and them thinking they saw them. No, they actually interact with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So, as an X-Files fan, where they always leave it up to, was that something I saw or wasn't it? Yes, I do believe in aliens. Was that a hoax, you know, something? To have them kind of just cross paths was kind of interesting, and Transformers is next, so I can't wait for that.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it, buddy.
All right, well, as we kind of mentioned, keep your ears peeled.
Just like what? Your potatoes peeled.
No, keep your ears peeled. Like, you know, when you get sunburn on your ears, you got to peel them. Yeah. Anyway. keep your ears open.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Or keep your...
Aren't they open right now anyways?
What? Oh. yeah, we've got the Drunk on Lawyers special edition podcast coming here later this week. Make sure you find us in all the appropriate places.
Or the inappropriate places.
Well, that's where we're going next. But yeah, find us on Twitter. Find us on Facebook. Find us on drunkoncomics.com, where you'll also find tons of other reviews. And, oh yeah, and the Instagrams.
Oh yeah, I forget you always have that.
I think I put 3 pictures up. I always forget. I'm like, I don't know what to take a picture of.
You know, should be a nerdy picture of me as Optimus Prime last night.
Oh.
Unless you were too drunk and forgot to post that.
Wait, what?
Yeah, actually, I'll post that here.
This is a pub crawl and superhero t-shirt themed, and yeah, I'll show you the picture.
All right.
Were you on the same pub crawl as everybody else?
Yeah, well, half of them had t-shirts, but our buddy Rob didn't want to do t-shirts. He wanted a theme, so he just came up with that. So you saw the allegiance of who was with him and who was with the other chick throwing the crawl.
Yeah, you and Rob were the only two people that had anything comic book nerdy related at all. I didn't see anybody else.
As you see, who has allegiance to each other. That's just why, two of us.
That's why I'm like, how is that themed? Like, two people don't make a theme. That just is awkward coincidence.
All right, well, now we're rambling. Listeners, keep reading those comics, and we'll be back to you next week.
I'm excited.